Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
They are opportunists, using the cover of legitimate protests to sow fear in our communities.
There are many things I can tell you that I think were done right by the NYPD, especially the level of restraint. But there also were mistakes, and there were individual actions that must be fully investigated.
And I know many people are feeling scared and unsettled, but I make no apologies that I'm always going to make the tough but necessary choice if it means protecting our people.
That is not the way you make a point. How do we celebrate the life of George Floyd or even talk about his tragic death when you have people committing crimes?
Good morning. It is a Monday, June 1st, 2020. It's Catholic Connection, a co-production, as you heard, of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Teresa Tomeo, this is a month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we are entering this month of June with so much pain in our hearts this morning as we look around our country and we see neighborhoods in shambles and city streets in lockdown and so many other cities under nighttime curfews and fires and shootings and trucks running into people, and what in the world, sweet Jesus, is happening? Well, we are going to talk about that this morning and get a beautiful perspective from several people who are on the front lines, who have been on the front lines and in other similar situations, who can really remind us of what our Lord told us on Pentecost in terms of the peace. We heard the gospel yesterday, "Peace I leave you," Jesus tells the apostles. And I can remember the funeral of John Paul II. And when the gospel book was on his coffin and the pages were blowing back and forth in the wind, and one of the readings was about that we can't be pulling away from Christ, because when we're like that, we go back and forth and we move around with the wind and we don't know what in the world is going on, and we lose our focus and we lose our center. So what we decided to do today is to get back to basics in a very big way as it pertains particularly to what's going on in our country right now with the fallout from the very untimely and brutal death of George Floyd. His family speaking out and saying that this is not what they want, this is not what he would have wanted, and so many other people just trying to come together peacefully, and yet certain people come in and not just ruin it for making the point of asking for justice and having righteous anger and expressing it peacefully, but impacting other lives to the tune of death. We had a man shot and killed in Detroit a few days ago with someone just pulled up and opened fire. We saw so many businesses damaged and destroyed. Heartbreaking story I saw of an African-American family, a man who's still a firefighter in the city of Minneapolis and put his life savings. He and his wife were so excited they were going to start a new restaurant. It was just about to open, and it was destroyed. So what do we do about this? Well, we know as Christians we are called to a higher standard and we have to bring the peace of Christ into that situation. So we're going to be talking about that with, in just about 10 seconds, my dear sister in the Lord, wonderful pro-life speaker, author, evangelist, and she heads up Priesthood Life Ministries for Minorities, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., joining us this morning. And then Father Mitch Pacwa, at about 15 minutes past the hour, someone who's very familiar with very volatile situations. He lives through some very interesting times himself. He's also a scripture scholar and just has a lot of common sense as well. And he's going to help us sort through all of this on a Monday, June 1st. Alveda is on the phone with me. Alveda, good morning. It's always wonderful to hear your voice, even in the midst of chaos, because you truly have the peace of Christ in your heart. Good morning, dear sister.
Good morning, my sister Teresa, and to all of your listeners. You know, when you were talking and you said, "Sweet Jesus," I thought about that song. I'm not going to sing it, but "One Day at a Time," "Sweet Jesus," that's all I'm asking of you. Mm-hmm. And then somehow, I don't know how I got it, but this morning, as I was checking different Twitters and emails and all that, Dolly Parton has a new song, "When Life Is Good Again." Now, life is good in Christ always, even with chaos, trials, and all of that, because God is good. But I just wanted to encourage the listeners Teresa, with all the chaos, all the anarchy, all this domestic terrorism, COVID-19, and I've been out among the people with my goddaughter, Angela Stanton King. We were in a local park in Atlanta yesterday after church and just meeting with the people and things like that. And I was like, oh, my God, I hope I took enough elderberry and zinc and all that. And I did have my mask on. So what's important, we have to, as you just said, as Christians, we have to act that, live that, care about each other, care about life from the womb to the tomb, not be afraid, but to keep praying, and then act in good ways decisively to handle all this with God's guidance. That's the real answer to the problem, God.
What do you think your uncle would say about this?
I did a little thing on Fox today. I had a Fox Opinion op-ed piece, and then this morning I was reminding people, my uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., the prophet, he says, and I'm paraphrasing, we may have come to America on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. So the Caucasian people, there's no such thing as white and black people, yellow and red. They're variations of skin color, but they're all human skin. We're one race. We're not even separate races. Acts 17:26 says we're one blood. But he said, in looking at that, the Europeans are the Caucasian folks running from tyranny, some shipped over here for crimes, all that kind of thing. And then the Africans sold by their own brother and sisters to mercenary Caucasians ended up here in slavery. Then everybody gets over here and the Native Americans get mistreated. So we all have to repent for crimes against humanity, not seeing that human personality that Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about. Because if we can't see people as human, we are going to do crimes against humanity. So my uncle would say, I believe, my daddy, my granddaddy, I'm a Christian evangelist today, repent for the sin of thinking you're separate races first. Start treating each other like fellow human brothers and sisters, and then come to God together and let God help us get through this.
Yesterday, Dr. Alveda King, and she's just joined us, by the way, here on Catholic Connection. And if you have a question, 877-573-7825. My pastor, Monsignor Bergeron in the Archdiocese of Detroit, gave a wonderful homily about the gospel we had for the Catholic Church in terms of St. John telling us that Jesus came to the apostles and said, peace, I leave with you. And he said, we're not going to have peace until we get back to our center, and our center is God. And I think about this, as you just mentioned, in the term of understanding the dignity of the human person, because all of this can go back to that. And that's why this, as you mentioned earlier, at the top of your comments, a pro-life message from womb to tomb. We have to get people back to the basics of understanding who people are.
And once we understand that we are human beings, inextricably connected, my uncle would say, he used a lot of big words, but we're connected, we're human beings. And as human beings, we have a responsibility to learn to care and regard each other and love and obey God. And that's really what's missing. And a lot of the leaders are at home and they're scared and they won't come out among the people. Because I was watching George Floyd's brother, and he was saying how he's heard the police don't riot and all of that. And then the police chief from Minneapolis was talking, and the people began to thank him for saying that this is wrong. The man who killed George Floyd, although they said he's trying to say he didn't, the man had a heart attack. Well, if you go stay there till he has a heart attack and not let him up, of course you still did it. But the people were saying, thank you for Mr. Police Chief for coming out among us and talk to us, you know. So the Christian faith leaders need to get out among the people. If your churches are closed, so say if you can't get to mass, Father Frank does mass every morning at 7 o'clock, so see abortion.tv. But the leaders should be praying, comforting, counseling, asking people not to riot, but to act decisively. We want to vote for life in the primaries that's going on. And if we can do those types of things, Teresa, we can make it through this, just like we've been getting through COVID. God is helping us through that. He will help us with this as well.
There are some wonderful stories that aren't getting a lot of attention. I heard about two of them over the weekend. One, both of them taking place in Minneapolis, were families when they woke up after the riots, and this started, I believe, on Saturday. They just started cleaning up. They've got a bunch of people together, and they went over to the businesses in need, and they started cleaning up. That's one wonderful story. And then the second one was how they realized that a lot of people, a combination of COVID and also the riots, which were shutting things down and causing problems for businesses already stressed to the max by COVID, people were without food and without necessities. I saw this report on Fox of the reporter standing in front of, I mean, a huge, huge area of donations of food and cleaning supplies and people working together, giving people what they needed at the moment. So long-term, as we make sure that we are right with God and we're doing what we have to do, but short-term, what else do you think we can do, Elvita, to make a difference right now in the midst of all this chaos?
You can get out and you can begin to clean up. Make sure you help people in your immediate area. You can certainly pray. You can volunteer if you have time. Call some of these agencies in your local cities that are doing care relief for COVID-19 and also now for recovering from these riots if you're in an area impacted by riots. So you can do all of that.
And what are you going to be doing in the near future in terms of speaking out? I know you said you had the op-ed on Fox. Where else can we find you, Elvita, before we let you go?
Well, I have a pro-life praise variety show. It's on YouTube and it's on endabortion.tv, Civil Rights for the Unborn, and then my personal ministry, ElvitaKing.com, Teresa.
All right, my dear. Any final thoughts as we work our way through this latest crisis in our world?
May God just be with us. Let's remember to work together, to obey the Lord, and love each other.
Amen, sister. Well said. Dr. Elvita King from Priester Life and her own ministry, an author and speaker, and someone who's out there making a difference for the Lord and life. Father Mitch Pacwa, also making a difference on the front lines, as Elvita is, 877-573-7825. Peace, Pachi. Keep your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and it's going to be okay. Under tutto bene. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Teresa Tomeo. Did you know that if it wasn't for your generous donations to Ave Maria Radio, that Catholic Connection would not be available? That's right. This program would not be available for WDEO and WMAX, but also Catholic Connection would not be available for the more than nearly 400 Catholic radio stations around the country. So you can see how your partnership is a huge gift, not only to those of us here in Michigan, but to millions of Catholic families around the nation and the world. All the funding for the production and initial distribution of this program and all the other wonderful shows from Ave Maria Radio comes from you. But the only place we can fundraise, the only place we can talk to our listeners about our partnership is on Ave Maria Radio stations, WDEO and WMAX. So thank you for your support of Ave Maria and click that donate button or go to the app.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You know, when Jesus tells us, I give you peace, but not as the world gives, most people associate peace when they hear that word, where everything has got to be fine and perfect, no troubles. Well, quite frankly, because we live in a fallen world, that's never humanly possible because we are human and we are going to make bad decisions and people are going to sin. We all sin. So what are we talking about in terms of Christ's peace? It means we understand that the peace surpasses this world. It doesn't mean we walk around like we're in La La Land and not pay attention to anything that's going on, but it means that we keep our eyes focused on Christ and we move forward in doing what we can do, as Dr. Alveda King just said, in little ways and big ways to make a difference. Now, to talk more deeply about this for the next 45 minutes and to take your calls, we're going to chat with Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN Radio and Television. Really no need to introduce him. He has a number of degrees in theology and has a great background in scripture study. You see him and hear him every single week on EWTN with his great TV program, as well as hear him on the radio. He has countless books and speaks a number of languages, and I just love having him on because he's been in the midst of some pretty, if you know his background, some pretty tense situations, and he's witnessed a lot in his many years as a priest making a difference. Father, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right, so we were chatting during the break. As you mentioned, one evil committed and then some responding with another evil. Talk to us about that.
This is something I've been talking about from the beginning of the COVID crisis, but it applies to this situation as well. Namely, when there is a crisis situation of any kind, good people become better in trying to respond to it and address the problem. Bad people end up making themselves worse by responding in ways that are evil. And all of us have to make a decision throughout all the crises of life. Am I going to seek the grace of God to become a better person, or am I going to go with the flow of sin and evil and do things that are wicked? Am I going to help the situation, or am I going to exacerbate the problem? This is a constant choice all of us have to make. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is what we're seeing at this point.
I think it's very interesting that several people are speaking out, including the mayor of Detroit, and he's talking about these being orchestrated. And he actually found out, and there is a tweet that I received from my friend Vanessa Denhagarmo, one of our guest hosts here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, where he's actually telling the local news media that this is orchestrated. They know, they've confirmed it. They have walkie-talkies. They've showed up with trucks that have fireworks and rocks. And also in New York, they're saying similar things where they actually found emails indicating that there was a plan. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We have to target this type of store. We have to target this type of neighborhood. So how do we make sure people understand what is going on? Because some people are reacting. People have been shut in. People are very upset. And maybe some people are justifying this type of evil for what they're feeling. How do we get the truth out there in the midst of all this craziness?
As in the case of the policeman who was on the video with his knee on the one gentleman's neck, Mr. Floyd's neck, you have to go through the legal process and find out the actual evidence. I was listening to the prosecutor in Minnesota, who is prosecuting the policeman. And one of the news commentators was asking, well, why don't you move fast? Why isn't he already indicted? So you've got to make sure that you're following the law here. When this goes to court, it has to follow the process of the law so that a conviction is done. But similarly, we have to find the evidence. excuse me. I think the mayor is reflecting things that I've heard from cities elsewhere and police units elsewhere, but they have to follow the evidence carefully. What is going to be happening? And what is happening is there evidence that this is organized? And with these walkie-talkies, what are the conversations? I mean, all of these things have to be monitored. And I strongly suspect that there are federal, if not local, police forces that can listen to those walkie-talkies. They can get on that frequency easily. That's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find out if this is the case or not. And I think to have a clear sense of the evidence and good police procedure, but if it is the case, for to distinguish that kind of behavior, which, if you know, I frankly suspect that it's the case. You've got folks from the far left who are using an old left-wing tactic, which is cause chaos. And that once the chaos breaks out, then we will emerge as the force that can bring back order. This is a very old tactic. As a matter of fact, in past times, going back to the 19th century, and a few movements even earlier, they were simply called the anarchists,
mm-hmm.
because their belief is that if they cause enough anarchy and chaos, everybody will look to them as the way to rebuild a brand new, better society that never, ever happens. But that's their plan and their hope. I suspect that is what's going on with the people with the walkie-talkies, people bringing, they're talking about throwing bricks at windows in New York City. And, you know New York. I mm-hmm. used to live there. There are bricks laying around
right.
in neat piles in the alleys for
exactly.
people to pick up anytime they feel that, well, we have to ride. We've got emergency bricks here. That's not the case. Where are they coming from? Where are they bringing these from? There's just a lot of evidence to that far-left chaos bringer. And then the opportunistic folks who see, oh, window's broken, let's take stuff. That's also going on. And then you have folks who are trying to protest peacefully to bring about what is a right and just correction of the treatment of prisoners by police,
mm-hmm.
in particular, those who are people of color. This has to be done. And in Minneapolis, they were reporting today that some of the peaceful protesters grabbed some of the anarchistic people and turned them over to the police. They did not want their protest to be hijacked by anarchy, because they're trying to accomplish something positive, something that must be done. But the anarchists are trying to stop that. I'll never forget meeting a liberation theologian in South America back in the 70s who was furious that Mother Teresa's nuns were coming and were helping babies and crippled people and the very elderly by picking them out of garbage dumps. He wanted them left there so that then people would revolt and have this chaos, this anarchy, and then they'd bring about a wonderful communist revolution. I've seen this mentality in various places around the world, and I fear that it might be going on here outside of, totally distinct from, those who are legitimately protesting against the injustice done to Mr. Floyd.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break, and let me put out the phone number, by the way, 877-573-7825. About a minute before we go into the break, 877 877- 573-7825. 573-7825. Also encourage you to check out our news sites, including Catholic News Agency, which has an update on the damage that was caused to the cathedral in Minneapolis-St. Paul. We also know that there were issues with St. Pat's in New York. 877-573-7825. On the phone with us, really no introduction, but maybe those of you who are new to EWTN are not familiar with the great work of our friend, Father Mitch Pacwa, a Jesuit priest fluent in 13 languages with over 50 Holy Land pilgrimages earned under his belt already. Father Mitch hosting several programs here on EWTN, including EWTN Live, of course, a weekly interview series that teaches and prepares all of us for evangelism. He talks on many topics. We're talking this morning about peace, Pachi. How can we be instruments of peace, especially as we just marked the Feast of Pentecost yesterday, and now we are in the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. 877-573-7825. More with Father Mitch coming up next. And your questions. Stay tuned. Minutes past the hour, Father Mitch Pacwa with us, 877-573-7825. Father Mitch, of course, popular host here on EWTN, hosting a number of shows, including EWTN Live, a weekly interview series that teaches and prepares Catholics for evangelism, also Scripture and Tradition. You also hear him on the radio, 877-573-7825. Father, we always know what we're called to do, or at least hopefully we know what we're called to do as Christians, especially Catholic Christians. It's such an incredible body of teaching on these various topics, whether it's be the injustice of racism that's still going on in so many areas, the dignity of the human person overall. I'm just wondering, though, I know people can hear this and say, oh, yeah, that all sounds great, and we know it's there, but when you see this chaos and it's happening in your own communities, and you may know people that are being affected, what do we say to people in terms of what we can do? What's a very practical thing? And I asked the same question of our previous guest, Alveda King. What do you think are some practical steps we can take to bring that peace into a very volatile situation right now?
One of the key elements is to have clarity on what is right and what is wrong, so that we don't go for any kind of simplistic or evil solution to what is already an evil. See, that's one of the other elements. We have to remember that the attack by anybody, including the police, or the neglect of anybody by the police or anyone else, is itself inherently evil. And we cannot excuse any such things, and we have to make sure that we are standing clearly and strongly against it. That is one of the most important things that any Catholic can do, because at that point we are dealing with the principles and not with some of the foolishness I've heard, for instance, trying to make this about presidential politics.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking? This is not about the election. It is about and to use it as a way to respond to something that's political, when we are dealing with a very serious crime and an injustice against somebody who's innocent. This is something that we have to be very, very careful to avoid. And I see, of course, on both sides of the issue,
mm-hmm.
that folks are trying to make this about the presidency or something. or local elections or local politicians and say, stop it. Stop it right now. This man is permanently dead.
Right.
And we have to have a clear sense of what we are about. And that we're acting not on emotion. To act on emotion usually, it'll give us passion and fire, but it usually makes us dumb.
Right. Oh, go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we were talking during the break because I think this gets to your point. That I posted a very good op-ed from the National Review talking about the importance of allowing protesters, as you said, to protest peacefully. I mean, there's a huge injustice that has to be addressed here. And the article was about how, you know, righteous anger is okay, rioting is not. And a huge response. And everyone was pretty polite. And even the man who I thought was, wow, this is an example of how people have lost basic common sense and decency. He says, well, you know, I'm okay with this for right now. Let's just let the people get it out of their system. Out of their system. And I really didn't have to say anything because many of my followers responded very, very nicely but firmly. I did respond and I said, sir, do you realize what you're saying? Getting it out of someone's system, so causing more harm and doing more evil, is okay. So we can have malicious destruction of property. We can have arson. In the case of a young man who was protesting Detroit, he was shot. Somebody drives by, opens fire during one of the protests, and now his life is gone. I said, you're ruining lives, and that's getting it out of their system? I don't even know what to say about that, Father. The lack of common sense.
It's something that is a steam engine approach to emotions. That idea comes from various psychologists and other folks who think of the human being as more of a machine than an authentic person. And if you just get these things out, it'll be okay. Well, that's not the way human beings are. They aren't steam engines. And I've heard the same theory apply to sexual misbehavior. Well, you just got to let off steam. No, you're not a steam engine. And this is not the appropriate model for such things. It's rather that we are human beings who have to deal with the reality of an evil rather than the emotion of the moment. The emotion of the moment is simply not worthy of our focus. You know, that's not what's going to make this better. And then you also have to deal with the serious concern for justice for the people whose businesses are already failing due to the COVID problems.
Right.
They're losing businesses that were already threatened. And you think that other people got to get the steam out? What kind of madness is that?
Yeah. I think it tells you, though, how far we've gone, you know, off of center, off of just basic common sense and human decency. And he was so calm about it. And even after many of my followers weighed in and said, do you realize what you're saying? Oh, well, I was only talking about for just a few days. That was his response.
Well, in one day, somebody who has worked hard, and by the way, this is something that I think is also very significant. It's not that the police are being targeted alone in all this. It's not that white businesses are being targeted. It is all businesses being targeted. I was watching an interview with two African American gentlemen whose business was was partially destroyed, and this had nothing to do with race. The folks who attacked their business without concern for the rights of the men who owned that business and have been working hard to make a better life for themselves.
Yeah, and to contribute and, to the community. Father, we're going to hit a break. Let's come right back and talk more about that. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. So what are your thoughts in all of this? Let's pray for peace. Let's do our best to be best Christians we can. 877-573-7825. Father Mitch Pakwa joining us. Let's go to Pat, who's been patiently holding in Utica, Illinois. Hey, Pat, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I wonder if we should start a rosary crusade for America. Have people say a rosary for America, for peace in America, for healing for America each day.
Well, I can't hurt, sister. I say absolutely. What a great idea. The more rosaries, the better. Father, your thoughts.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's during this whole COVID crisis, one of the interesting finds by people who do sociology and all that is that people of faith are far more ready to do what is good for others than are people without faith. They've been showing that people who are prayerful and have faith in God will show a lot more concern for the needs of the suffering than will the folks who don't have faith. And one of the points that I think is very, very important for us to realize is that in this whole situation, if it is indeed an issue of folks who are, causing anarchy and think that they can bring it about, they are going. Think of it. This lady's point is so important that the people of faith have to show faith, because at the creation, the Holy Spirit hovers over the chaos right before God speaks creation into being. And we just celebrated Pentecost, and we're still in the Eastern Church. We oftentimes continue the celebration of Pentecost for the whole week. And it's very important to note that with this Feast of Pentecost, we need that hovering of the Holy Spirit so that we ourselves can let God's Word give us direction. The Holy Spirit stirs up the chaos to prepare it for the order and orderliness of God's Word. And God's commandments are included in that. You don't see the seventh commandment that prohibits stealing. And people are just stealing things, and we need that commandment to come into force. We don't see the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, being lived out by the police or by the people who grabbed a woman and beat her nearly to death while her husband was trying to save her in one of the riots. And she just was a random lady. And other folks, you know, the man who was driving a semi-tanker mm-hmm. into the crowd. I mean, the anarchists evoke anarchy from bad people who disagree with them. And the politicization of the evil is one form of evil drawing out another form, all of which causes chaos that simply serves the kingdom of darkness. While those who are saying God's law that protects the life of Mr. Floyd, it protects the lives of protesters, and it protects the property of the other people around, as well as the law of God in the eighth commandment, by which we have to seek justice in the court system. God had it as a commandment about justice under law, that you don't bear false witness, but that applies to all forms of injustice in the court system. And the absence of the living out God's law is truly a horrendous problem, and prayer that opens our hearts up to living the law of God and acting on it and being concerned for African Americans and white Americans and folks of all the other racial communities is extremely important.
Father, you mentioned the interview you saw with two African-American men who had a business that was destroyed. I saw one, I was telling you during the break, another very sad interview with an African-American couple that were just about to open up a restaurant. They were so excited they put their life savings into it. He's still a firefighter in Minneapolis, and the place is basically torched by the protesters, and their whole life savings gone in an instant. So what I don't understand is I understand that these people want to, who are not the protesters, are there to make a point and have absolutely every right to do that, and they're doing it peacefully, but the people who are causing all the anarchy and all the unrest and all the violence and everything, and your point earlier about they want people to look to them as the answer, well, why are they attacking the very people that they say they're so concerned about, and why would those people believe in them after their livelihood is just destroyed? So what are they going to do for these people? Oh, look to us, look to us. Okay, well, what are you going to do?
Well, see, I really suspect that a lot of the anarchic people don't have a plan of what they are going to do. Here's a principle that shows up a lot in life, namely, people have a better idea of what they don't want than they do, and they have an idea of what they do want. This is not unusual in life, and it's not healthy. And I'm very concerned by this problem. I see it with many of our youth. They have a better idea what they don't want than what they do want. But the reason that a lot of young people have less clarity about what they do want is that the adults that are supposed to be teaching them are the same way. They don't know what they want either. And this is something that also, we people of faith need to have greater clarity ourselves. What do we want from Christ our Lord? What do we expect from Him? Mm-hmm. And what do we see as the good that the church brings to society? This cannot be underestimated. And to have clarity on these issues is part of our task.
Amen. Father, let's go back to the phones. We have Marilyn calling in from Buffalo, New York this morning. If you have a question for our guest, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, just give us a call, 877-573-7825. Marilyn, thanks for calling. What's your question for Father Mitch?
Good morning, Father, and good morning, Teresa. I just want to let you know, first and foremost, I'm humbled, we all are, by the opportunity to be able to speak with you and problem solve. Father Mitch, in particular, I wonder if you would speak to, you've done a documentary, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, The Interface of Liberation Theology, Community Organizing, Alinsky, Neo-Marxism, and a divide-and-conquer tactic of creating chaos so that you can control. And I wonder if you would speak to that. You do it so eloquently, Father. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marilyn. Welcome. I was going to recommend that documentary again. It's excellent. And Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Go ahead, Father.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I have to say that in this circumstance, I really don't think that it is the Alinsky-type people who are behind this. This is not their M.O. they typically want to have results. That, you know,
that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, one of the things about Alinsky is that he warned against doing actions that don't bring about any results. And this is a good example of something that does not bring about good results for the people you're trying to help. Alinsky talked about strategizing, and he wanted to see clear strategies developed so that people would get something accomplished. And he warned against simply acting in order to feel good about your action but not get anything done. So I was thinking about that. I mean, I appreciate that question. I was actually thinking about this issue, and I looked at some of this behavior. I'm saying, no, this is not the Alinsky people of the Alinsky tradition. This is another group, and that's why I'm emphasizing the role of the anarchists. This is a lot more of their MO, modus operandi.
The Alinsky types are the ones who get into the systems, the various systems
yes.
that work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the anarchists reject that because they don't care. They want to destroy the system. I've seen this difference all over. For instance, I was just talking last week about the Women's Ordination Conference back in the 1970s. I don't know if you remember that or not, but in the mid-70s there was an organization called the Women's Ordination Conference. They were also a divided group. You had some women who said, I want to be a priest because I want to celebrate Mass and all. That was one group. But then there was another group who said, we got to get into the priesthood so that we can get into the hierarchy and then we can change doctrine. And then there was a third group who said, we have to get into the priesthood so that we can destroy all priesthood and all patriarchy.
Wow.
And that division among them, and if you ever check, you know, Mrs. Donna Steichen of Minnesota originally had done a lot of very fine work in regard to all that. This kind of division among people on the left is fairly traditional. Don't think that the folks on the left either hold the same tactics, same ideology, or any other thing the same. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times they don't even like each other. Hmm. And I say that after having seen folks on the left get into fist fights because they didn't like the other side, the other leftist tactics, so they started beating each other up. I mean, this is where chaos also goes.
Yeah. But we only have about 30 seconds left before we have to break again. Can you give us, we were talking about prayer, we were talking about focusing on dignity in the human person. What documents in the church do you think would help us right now, kind of looking at where the church is and all of this? What do you think, Father?
You know, I hadn't thought of that concern. Frankly, some of the things I just said, I think are relevant. Right now, the document that should help us the most are the Ten Commandments.
Good point.
We're dealing with something far more basic. There are lots of important points against racism in the church. This is very important. We could talk about that later. But I think right now you're dealing with the Ten Commandments.
The basics.
Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, exactly. Thou shalt not kill. It's very, very basic. Father, thank you so much for bringing some sense into all of this chaos. We keep our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and he is today, yesterday, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We'll be right back. Thanks to our sustaining members, those brand new members, and, of course, to all of you who've recently renewed your membership. A big thank you to Juan and Mabel in Miami, David in Washington Township, Michigan, Catherine in Slinger, Wisconsin, Stephen Carolina in Canton, and Michael from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. You too can renew that membership, become a sustaining member, or just make a one-time gift by going to, yep, you know the website, AveMariaRadio.net. Or just click on that donate button on that Ave Maria Radio app.
Businesses are starting to open up in Michigan, and people can now gather in small groups. Mass is still closed, though, for millions of Michigan Catholics, so Ave Maria Radio will continue to offer Mass through the radio. The Holy Mass plays at noon, Monday through Friday, and at 8 a.m. on weekends. You may not be able to go to Mass, but you can participate in the Mass by listening to Ave Maria Radio on the air, on your computer at AveMariaRadio.net or on the Ave Maria app on your smart device.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Thanks for your questions. Continue our conversation tomorrow on Catholic Connection. And remember, keep your eyes on Jesus. All things Christ. Have a blessed day. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.